Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen and to share information and just to have a good time with us. So we are in that season where things are just a little bit dicey in terms of having to watch over our shoulders a little bit more, having to make sure that video camera is working, having to hug our purses a little tighter because it's the holidays, and unfortunately, while it brings out all of the well-wishers and good vibes and everything, it also brings out a little bit of evil out there in terms of people trying to take advantage of you. And so we want to try to get a handle on that, do some preventing. We have one of Orlando Police Department's finest with us this morning to give us some tips. Officer James West, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm excited to be here.
So thanks for taking the time out. We really appreciate it. Before we get cracking, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Officer James West. I work for the Orlando Police Department, and I am a member of Orlando Police Department's Crime Prevention Unit. I've been with the Orlando Police Department for about 9.5 years. Prior to that, I had about 2.5 years of experience with the Florida Highway Patrol. So I've been in law enforcement now for about 11.5 years, almost 12 years. And in the crime prevention unit, you know, our primary role is community outreach, but we also have a focus on, all crime prevention related matters that take place in the community. So we go out and we educate folks on a lot of the crime prevention techniques and a lot of the crime prevention tools that are available at their disposal.
So Thanksgiving's next week, and, you know, then we have the Black Friday and all of the things that come with it. And I know some things have changed since COVID, but some things are still the same. So can you talk a little bit about what it means around this time of year in terms of how we deal with keeping some of this crime at bay? And how has crime prevention changed over the years? I guess I want to start by asking you that.
Sure. Well, to answer the second part first, excuse me, crime prevention has changed from past years in the following ways. You know, back in the day, the focus with crime prevention, at least from a law enforcement perspective and how security companies would kind of focus on law enforcement was from the focus on physical security measures, right? So today we call that target hardening. So there was a lot of emphasis on, you know, putting up tall fences, you know, for, you know, in your backyard, you know, in some neighborhoods, you know, you might even have folks where we would put those steel bars over the windows and, you know, you'd have these really expensive home security alarm systems. So the focus in crime prevention in the past years was mostly what we call target hardening, which is just, you know, hardening your home and making it more difficult for someone to break into or, you know, that sort of thing. So that was really the emphasis, or putting up cameras and that sort of thing. Well, today, those things are still important, but we now take a multifaceted approach, and the focus is less on hardening the target And it's more on changing the behavior of the suspected criminal perpetrator. And you can do that by the environment and changing aspects of the environment to make it less desirable for a criminal to take action. So, it's something that we now call crime prevention through environmental design. So it takes all of those things. You know, we do a little bit of target hardening, so where it's appropriate, but we also focus on adding lighting. You know, increasing lighting. Lighting is one of the number one deterrents for crime. So people feel more comfortable committing crimes or doing things when they don't feel like they'll be seen or detected. Right. So we want to change people's behavior, and that's going to kind of be a theme with our discussion today.
Okay, so what would you say the first thing we should do in terms of maybe changing behavior?
For instance, a lot of it is decision making on our part, but when take for instance your home, right? So when we look at, when we study like what makes someone choose to commit a crime, and crime prevention generally, there's a few things. There's does the person have the ability to do it, and then there's the desire to do it as well, and then the opportunity. So we want to kind of look at those three aspects. You can't take away someone's desire per se. If they're intent on trying to get in there and get whatever they want to get, regardless of the consequences, sometimes you can't always dictate that. But you can control the opportunity and the ability to a certain degree. And that's kind of what the focus is. So making your home less a desirable target by having improved, make sure your lighting is working on the outside, using LED lights that are a little bit more brighter and have more of a natural daytime look in the evening, and making sure that the lighting around your house is adequate. So changing those light bulbs, kind of doing a home assessment. If you're landscaping, a lot of people don't think that the landscaping can affect someone's ability or decision or behavior. But if your hedges are high and they're blocking your windows, or they're creating what we call ambush points, do you have landscaping and objects and things that would obstruct your view of your home or your view of a perpetrator if they were, hiding behind it? Does someone feel comfortable hiding in the bushes because the bushes block the side of the house and they can feel comfortable not being seen, maybe trying to climb through a window? So making sure your hedges are, don't exceed 2 to 3 feet, where you can see the windows around your home. So keeping those hedges and around the house, close to the house, we're talking about at around 2 feet, making sure that those tree canopies are above 6 feet. So we have those sight lines from the road. Your neighbors can see, what's going on around your house. There's not a lot of obstructions. So when you have lighting and you have that landscaping component there, you get that natural surveillance where people can see, and it makes someone feel a little less comfortable committing that crime. And they're going to look for a target or an easier home, maybe that's dark or has or obstructed view from the road because there's high fences or shrubbery and hedges and things that and less lighting that make them feel comfortable. And so that's kind of like the first tier of defense, things that we can do that we can control. And then outside of that, security cameras, and whether it's door cameras or having a home security alarm system can be an effective tool or deterrent, but also just, having your neighbors on the same page where you're looking out for each other. If you don't have an active neighborhood watching your neighborhood, it's been shown to be effective too. So those are just some simple things you can do to kind of deter a criminal from targeting your home during the holiday season.
Unfortunately, though, in some cases, that means you have to have a neighbor that you can trust. So, and we've gotten away, unfortunately, from developing those relationships sometimes, or it may even be the fact that we are such a fluid society now that sometimes we don't stay in the same place long enough to cultivate those types of relationships. So I think we've got to kind of get back to looking at some of those things in terms of being able to protect ourselves and prevent crime. I know I have a couple of neighbors that I usually contact when we're going out of town just to let them know, hey, you know, just in case, you know. And so I have a couple of good people that I can rely on for that.
And that's a great point that you're making there. I think we do have to kind of get back to that. I know it's easy for us to kind of have that singular focus, and you know, back in the day, you know, more homes had front porches, and people spent more time outside and enjoying their outdoor space. The communities were designed to encourage that kind of activity. And now our lives are busier. There's things happening, and you have in some neighborhoods, you know, there's less of a sense of community where you know that, you know, your neighbor across the street is going to be home if you know them, you know, and looking out for you. And I think we do have to try to make an effort. If not, you know, you don't need to know everybody on the street, but maybe your immediate neighbors, the one to your right or your left or across the street, try to build that relationship and get to know them. And if you feel like it's someone that you can trust over time, you know, then that you feel comfortable saying, hey, I'm going to be out of town, or hey, I have a package that's being delivered. Can you keep an eye out for it? Or if I call you, can you pick it up for me and hold it for me till I get home? It kind of helps to have that. When we do our neighborhood watch program for the city, one of the videos that we show is of a convicted thief, and he was in prison for multiple charges for home burglaries. And when they did an interview, it was like a 60 minutes interview, you know, they asked him, what's the biggest deterrent, you know, security cameras? And he would say, oh no, I would just put a mask on and cover my face if I didn't want to be seen. You know, they say, well, is it some alarm system? And he said, oh, well, you'd be surprised. Most people, you know, have these alarms and half the time they're not on, or I know I get familiar with the response times. And he kind of had rebuttals for some of the things that we would consider. And they said, well, so then what is it that deters you? And he said, you know what, neighborhood watch. And they say, well, why? What's the big deal with Neighborhood Watch? And not that I'm promoting Neighborhood Watch, but just to kind of make a point about the community sense. And they say, well, you know, just when I go into a neighborhood, if I see that someone is actively engaged and they're watching me, I'm more inclined to feel that, you know, they're going to identify me or my car, or that this is a community that cares, and they're going to be more inclined to call the police or report me. And whereas in other areas, he says he can go up and just open a window or go in through the back door and just feel comfortable knowing that he can get in and out and grab what he needs and not be held accountable. So I think while all of those other things, you know, security systems, cameras, they're useful tools. I think we talk about that multidisciplinary, multifaceted approach to crime prevention. If we can encompass the community piece along with some of these other measures, it just increases, you know, the sense of safety and security that we all kind of want in our neighborhood.
Yeah, and he's kind of right about that. I also do real estate, and so, you know, I've been in neighborhoods showing houses. I'm legitimately doing my job, but I've had people, you know, riding a bike or walking a dog or whatever, and they'll kind of, if they're on a bike, they may, you know, come back by on the bicycle, and you know they don't have to come back by on the bicycle, or they'll stop and linger with the dog a little bit longer on a particular corner, and just, you know, they're watching, you know, but that's a good thing, you know, if it's, you know, they're trying to protect their neighborhood, as long as it doesn't get excessive, you know.
Right.
But,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And another point on that, you know, we've had crimes occur in the city of Orlando where, you know, someone will come up posing to be, you know, a moving company, and they'll have a truck and they'll back up into, you know, they may have cased a home for a few weeks or so, and they'll decide that they may learn the person's routine and say, okay, this is the day or time that we're going to go break into this home. And unfortunately that happens. It's not something that happens all the time, but we do have cases and incidents over time where we've seen this, and they'll back in with this truck. And you know it'll be the neighbor that says, well, wait a minute. I know, you know, Johnny or Miss Susie over there. Why is there a moving truck? What's going on? And it'll be the neighbor that'll go over. Sometimes they they've confronted the individual and person, oh, no, we're, they hired us to come move, and then they'll say something's not right about that. And just that engagement, and or just the neighbor stepping outside to look and with their phone in their hand will change that person's behavior, and they'll say, okay, you know what, maybe this was a bad idea, and they'll leave. So we've had, you know, things be thwarted in that way just from having a concerned resident. Now, you know, obviously we don't want to encourage folks to go out and challenge people, you know, and do that sort of thing. But I think we, by the same token, we do encourage that sense of community and sense of ownership in the neighborhood, and we want that people to have that neighborly mindset to kind of look out for your neighbors and look out for each other, because we've kind of gotten away from that today.
We are here this morning with Officer James West. He's helping us protect our neighborhoods. And when we come back, Officer West, I want to ask you about, because it's that time of year, how to deal with the porch pirates. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Geese Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. Geese Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We have one of Orlando's protectors on the phone with us, Officer James West. The number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. And I guess I'm saying it's the season, which normally it is the season, but actually ordering online, having deliveries has become more common since COVID. So how do we handle this? Especially, and one of my problems is, and I know there's nothing you guys can do about that, but one of my problems is I try to order, I have a P.O. box, and I try to send as much stuff, especially if it's valuable, to my P.O. box. But a lot of times, retailers will not pick up stuff, you know, send stuff to a post office box, and they want to send it to your home. So how do we deal with those incoming packages?
And that's a great question. I actually have some options for you to consider this morning. So, but you're right. Online delivery services and the whole trend of online delivery packages and goods. You can even have your groceries delivered, you know, today. You know, it's booming. I'm a big fan of it. I've started doing it and been caught up with it. But what we also noticed is we noticed a new trend of porch theft, package delivery porch theft, where folks will, you know, drive through neighborhoods and basically shop. You know, the neighborhood is a shopping aisle, and they'll look specifically during this time of year because, you know, they know people are shopping, you know, for the holidays. They know that there may be electronics and high ticket items, and some of the packages that are delivered, they don't always conceal what the items are. So occasionally you will see, everybody recognizes an Apple logo or, you know, a TV box logo, Samsung, or whatever the items are. So you do have where some merchants don't conceal. They've taken steps to try to conceal the packages. But even with that said, we've seen where folks will do drive-ups and take things. If you're on Nextdoor, the Nextdoor app, and you're part of that, you know, how often do you see where neighbors will post, you know, video footage of that sort of thing? So it is a problem, and it is a common problem. So there's a couple things we can do to kind of guard ourselves from package theft. And one of the things that I would ask you to consider is, on the simpler side, is they make these large decorative outdoor package bins. And I personally own one. And it's the idea is it's similar to a mailbox where, you know that everyone gets mail at some point every day. You don't always know what's in it. And we had mailboxes, and it was most of the package theft came from the delivery folks themselves. It's rare that you see people going through and checking mailboxes. So the idea behind the decorative large outdoor bins, which they make, you can go online and do a search, and there's different types, is that you conceal the packages, and they're not sitting out openly on your doorstep. And we talked earlier about, you know, criminals being motivated by three things, desire, ability, and opportunity. They're looking for an easy target. So if I'm going to take the chance to run up, you know, when they go into these neighborhoods, they generally don't spend a lot of time, and we say they, criminals that perpetrate these crimes, they generally don't want to spend a lot of time because they don't want to be ID'd. They realize that if they get out and run and grab a few packages, that someone will see them. So a lot of times they go through a neighborhood, they look, they target a home, they grab what they need, and then they're off to a neighboring subdivision or somewhere else. So you want to eliminate, they're not going to walk up and look inside of every bin on a home, because it's just the risk is too high or too great, unless they know a person or an individual and they have specific information. So if you have one of these decorative bins, you can place them up near your front door. Some of them look like benches that you can sit on. There's some that are just tall bins that you can come in different colors that can match the painting or the exterior decorative look that you have on your home. And then they sell placards that say for, you know, delivery provider on there. And then you can take that placard and you can place it on the box so that when the person comes to make the delivery, they see it, you know, and you can place it in a way, and they place it inside the bin. So that's one option, right? Someone says, well, hey, I don't know, but I still don't feel comfortable with that. Well, a lot of retailers now offer in-store pickup options. So you do have some brick-and-mortar retailers that are trying to compete with some of the online-based only retailers, and now they're offering online purchasing as well, and they give you the option to pick up in the store. And you can schedule a time to pick it up, and you can choose a store location that's near your job or on your way home. And a lot of times these retailers are giving you anywhere from 7 to 10 days or more to pick up that item from the store. And they also, a lot of them also offer curbside pickup. So you don't even have to get out of your car. You can go pull into a designated parking area, and you call the number, or you use the app. If you're not app savvy, a lot of times they have a phone number. You can just call. They'll come out. You show them your ID. They place it right into the back, you know, the trunk of your car. You don't even have to go inside. So that's also another option that you can do for maybe high-priced items if you don't want to do all your shopping like that. But items that are high-priced that maybe wouldn't fit in a bin, or something that you just wouldn't feel comfortable sitting out on your porch to get. Some other things we can do is just kind of be a little more selective, if we can, about when the items are delivered. Some of these online retailers now will let you choose up to the date and sometimes the time window that they can deliver. So when you have that opportunity to choose your delivery windows, choose the, you know, weekends when you're home for delivery, or what I like to do is, if you have a family member that lives nearby or a neighbor, if you built that relationship that you know is home during the day, maybe they work from home or maybe they're retired and they're home during the day, some of the online providers will let you pay, and then you can select a different delivery address, and it can be the residence of someone that you know who's home that can collect that package and keep it for you. So that's also another thing you can do to get around, you know, avoid, you know, minimizing having package theft occur.
So one of the things that you mentioned, and a part-time job that I had, with a company that does have some high-end stuff is the fact that the delivery people are taking some of the stuff. I actually had a coworker that said, I just watched someone from, and I won't say the delivery company, but I just watched them steal my coffee maker. You know, and it's interesting because they're doing it, and the cameras are there. Most folks have some sort of camera now, and even if they don't have the camera, a neighbor has a camera that sometimes, or multiple cameras that are sometimes pointed in the direction of your home.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that, I guess? You contact the company?
Now that, you know, and that is something that does happen. As far as the commonality or how common that happens, you know, I can't say. But I will say that that does happen, and there's a couple things you can do. A lot of times, you know, you can reach out to the delivery company that provided the service, the delivery service, if you're able to identify who it was. So in those instances, you can reach out to them directly, and you can reach out to their loss prevention contact, or you go through their customer service and you let them know that you want to report the theft of an item involving an employee, or potentially an employee. And then what they do is they start their investigative process to investigate that crime. Sometimes they may require you to have an actual physical case number or a police report. So in that instance, I would start with first contacting the company, because sometimes a police report isn't needed, and the company will address it. They may reimburse you for the item. They may, after their follow-up investigation, they may take other steps. So I would say reach out to the delivery service first, find out what investigative measures they'll take for package theft, and then follow that process. And then if they ask you for a police report, then you would just call your local, just call 911, because depending on where you live, it may not be in the city limits of Orlando. You could be in the county or another region. And they will connect you with your local police department, who will dispatch an officer or a deputy out, and then they'll take a report, and then you can provide them the video footage if you have any, or whatever evidence you may have, and then they'll give you a case number. And then from that point, you know, we can do a criminal investigation. But it's more common that the companies do it in-house, because then they take measures where they may criminally prosecute the employee as well. So I would say always in that instance, start with contacting the delivery company. I would say if you have for packages that you may be ordering that may be of value, if the company offers you some type of delivery insurance, if it's something that you're not, you know, that you would be concerned about, you know, order the insurance for the amount of the value of the item. But most delivery services will reimburse you, or they have something in place if the item is stolen. And that's why sometimes we find some delivery folks will sometimes engage in that kind of behavior. You know, one, because they don't think they'll be seen, even though there's cameras everywhere these days. And two, they know that most of these companies, you know, they reimburse the people for the item, or they, you know, they have measures that they can take. So they feel like they're able to get away with it and not have the penalty that comes with it because of those measures that are put in place for reimbursement in a lot of these companies.
And something that you mentioned that I do want to make a point about is the insurance. And, you know, major companies, that's not an automatic thing with them. But a lot of times we as consumers may be sending off packages to other folks
right.
in other areas. And a lot of times we waive the insurance. And so it may be smarter now to just, when you know, depending on what it is, you know, and are you willing to replace it, or how valuable it is, or everything, you might just need to reconsider waiving that insurance if you're sending something, you know, I was going to say out of town, but just anywhere. It doesn't matter where, you know, because, you know, you don't want to be out of, let's say, a gift or something like that, and, you know, you're waiting to hear back from the recipient, and they've never received it, you know, and you have to end up replacing it, and, you know, you don't want to be totally out of that money because of something that didn't show up, and you, you know, don't want to end up trying to save face too, something that, you know, you didn't cover or whatever, and you're having to make all of these apologies to the recipient for the gift that didn't show up. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there that, you know, the next time, you know, when they ask if you want insurance on an item, it's probably best at least around the time of year to go ahead and get it, you know.
I agree. I'm 100%.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick break. We are here with Orlando Police Officer James West. He's with the Crime Prevention Unit. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you had questions, if you have questions for Officer West, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Orlando's crime prevention guru, Officer James West. He's joining us today to give us some advice. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. So, Officer West, I want to ask you about things we can do when we're not at home. Some of us are going to dive back into the holiday shopping rush in person, you know, and, you know, hopefully everybody that decides to do so has been vaccinated, and just a thought. But anyway, so the criminals don't care whether or not you're vaccinated. The criminals care about what you got. What did you get at the store that they don't have to pay for, that they can take from you? So let's talk a little bit about that. How do we protect, and I want to say not only the stuff, but ourselves when we're out in those situations?
That's a good question, and I'll say this. We, at the Orlando Police Department, we do, we offer a lot of, as a part of the Crime Prevention Unit, we do a lot of community training. And some of the things we do, we go out to community and we do senior safety trainings. We'll have, you know, training events with private businesses and or nonprofit organizations. They'll have us come out and we offer, you know, a self-defense class. That's kind of like an introductory basic class that we'll do. We're doing it virtually during COVID. Prior to COVID, we would do it in person and we'd have it across the city in all six districts. At a different location, excuse me, and we do active shooter training, you know, situational awareness training. So we offer these training classes as a free service. So there's a lot of demand from our residents for the type of questions that you're asking today. So it's a great service that you're offering to your listeners. And as you said, for the holidays. You know, yeah, we're getting out there, and, you know, the one thing that we consistently try to tell our residents when we do our training and our trainings and stuff and our tabletop exercises is the importance of situational awareness. It's probably the greatest tool. It's greater than pepper spray or, you know, a stun gun or having a you know, personally arm yourself with a firearm lawfully with a license, of course. The number one tool that we all have at our disposal is situational awareness. And when we talk about situational awareness, it's just being able to perceive your environment, to see your environment, right, constantly being able to scan your environment and recognizing a threat before it happens. And in today's age of cell phones and texting and social media, we are so much more distracted than we've ever really been. You know, we all can attest to how many times, you know, you've seen videos of people, you know, crossing the street in, you know, in a busy intersection and, you know, looking down at their phone, you know, and almost getting hit by a car, or, you know, someone that's just, for a time when Pokemon Go, which is a game on a phone app game that was really big, there was a time when that was big here in Orlando where we had some snatching grabs of people's phones, and it was happening, you know, in Lake Eola Park. And a couple of those incidents that occurred, you know, people were looking at their phone and walking, and they just weren't paying attention. And a suspecting thief would run by on foot and snatch the phone out of their hand. And, you know, because they've got it out, they're not looking at anything else, and they weren't, you know, I mean, half of the time they weren't able to really give us a good description, you know, because people just weren't aware. So I would say the number one thing we can do is to really just be aware. You know, don't be on your phone. If you're out and about, you know, especially as we shop during the holidays, we advertise what we have because a lot of our bags will say Apple Store on it, you know, or Louis Vuitton store, or wherever we were shopping. And so, you know, suspecting thief or criminal can kind of look and see what you have. And if you're not paying attention, if you're walking and you're distracted, a lot of times we talked about those three things that a criminal looks for, you know, the ability, desire, you know, and can we stop that? Can we take away that one of those components by not being an easy target? If the thief or the potential suspect can recognize that you see them, that's half the battle, because a lot of times they don't want to be identified. They're looking for the path of least resistance. So just being aware and seeing them coming then allows us to then respond appropriately. Now, we're not going to be caught off guard because we see the potential threat, or we see that suspicious person, maybe that just seems out of place. They're kind of standing there, or they're sitting in their car, they're watching me, or they follow me because I've been paying attention. I noticed that this person has followed me from A to point A to B, and, you know, I've been taking a couple left turns here and there, and I'm noticing that they follow me, and now I may, you know, go somewhere where there's people present, or I may stop and ask the mall security guard, hey, you know, I don't feel comfortable walking to my car. Do you mind walking with me? Or I believe there may be somebody following me. But if we aren't paying attention, we can't take the appropriate steps, and now we find ourselves in a situation where we get to our car and now someone confronts us, and we're caught off guard, we're stunned, and, you know, we're not prepared for that instance. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I was thinking about, like you were talking about, if you think you're being followed and whatnot, even like in your car, I'm thinking about a lot of times when I feel like someone's been behind me a little bit too much or too long, and if they happen to, you know, turn into the same complex where I live, a lot of times I will go a different direction.
Right.
Since I know my neighborhood, you know, I go maybe a different direction and just maybe sit and see if that person is going to continue to follow me, or if they're going to pass me and maybe go out of the complex. A lot of times if you do that, they get the sense that you know that they're following you, and they'll just leave you alone sometimes. So
right, and that's great, and that's exactly what, when we talk about, you know, situational awareness, it's really just paying attention, you know, mm-hmm. in layman terms. And I think we've gotten away from that. And someone who in that situation where you notice something strange, this car's been following me, you know, you were then able to kind of develop a plan versus, you know, pulling up maybe, and now you're at your street or home, and now it's, mm-hmm. you know, by the time you realize that car is there, either you've been cornered in your driveway, or, you know, you have less options. And I think that's something that we all can really learn to be better at. You know, I think of an example where, you know, sometimes I might be shopping at the store, And I'll come out of the store and I'll have my items and I'm looking around. I'm, you know, I'm a police officer, so I'm used to being observant and scanning. And, you know, now it's unfortunately, you know, people are having hard times these days now, and they're not, you know, people are having financial struggles and challenges. And it seems like now occasionally you'll have people that will approach you and ask for money, or they'll approach you. Well, you know, it's been a few occasions where I've identified a person who's, I've seen them walking and hitting up people as I'm working my way to my car, and I'm already, mm-hmm. you know, have my keys out now, I'm prepared, I've kind of figured out what they're doing, and sometimes it may just be soliciting, you know, hey, would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies, whatever it is, you know, I'm not caught off guard by that, and you'll be surprised how many people are, and they get to their car, they've opened up their trunk and getting ready to load in stuff, and they're just completely caught off guard because someone has just, and it felt like to them, snuck up on them. And so that situational awareness piece during the holidays is just as important as some of the other more conventional things that we like to tell people, you know, lock in your car, have your keys ready, you know, when you're going to your car. You shouldn't want to be fumbling in through your bags, and, you know, because as in crisis, certain things happen. We get adrenaline, mm-hmm. our body reacts a certain way. We lose those fine motor skills like you see in the scary movies, and you're like, just put the key in the door, crank the car up, you know. those skills are really difficult under stress. Mm-hmm. Those skills that are generally easier for us, those fine motor skills. So having your keys ready, if it's a door that you can have the car unlocked, ready to get in, you know, park where the area is light, where there's a lot of good lighting, you know, if you can avoid, now, you know, we've lost daylight savings time, you know, so it gets dark yeah. earlier. So trying to shop, you know, and when you have daylight, but when you can't, park as close as you can, you know, where the lighting is good. And if you can do anything, please, please don't shop from place to place and leave valuables in the car. Because sometimes we're hitting up multiple places and those yeah. bags get left in the car, and that's when we have break-ins.
Yeah. I still want to know about this Girl Scout that intimidated you. You're going to have to tell me about that later, but anyway. So now, should you... I guess one of the main things you and I'm so guilty. I am just so guilty. But, you know, I compartmentalize, and I'm, you know, on a time crunch and usually doing stuff at a certain, you know, and trying to get from point A to point B in a certain amount of time. So I do a lot of stuff by myself. That's probably not a good thing. It's really probably, especially around this time of year, important that you have a buddy or a partner or somebody that you're doing this stuff with, because it's better to have two
yes.
kind of keeping their eyes and ears open for what's going on, right?
Yes, you are 100% correct. We call it the buddy system. We like to tell, even, you know, when folks are leaving, coworkers, you know, people who work in the office, and sometimes you have working odd hours, we would like to say, hey, buddy up, if you're leaving and you're heading out to your car, you know, hey, wait for another coworker, or wait for somebody else, go out together. You're less likely to be targeted as in pairs. And the same can apply to your holiday shopping needs or being out and about during this time of year. You know, shop in pairs. If you know you need to get some shopping done, and you know, your husband or significant other may not be crazy about being in the mall, but find mm-hmm. a buddy that has a similar, you know, shopping schedule as yours, or has, or doesn't mind, or has to be out there too, and kind of work that out together, so that way, you know, you have a pair, and it makes you less likely to be targeted in those situations, because it's harder to control two people in a situation than one. A lot of criminals do look for an easier target, and they don't want to handle two or three people. It's easier for them to identify an individual that's not prepared for them to commit or perpetrate a crime against, generally than what we'll see in pairs of two or three or more.
And just to kind of clarify, too, it's not that if the two of you need to be fighting off the perpetrator. I mean, that's good if you can, but it's also good if one of you all could actually be calling 911 or calling somebody nearby for help, or getting more than just your two eyes involved on what's going on.
Correct. And what we have is in that situation is right. We're not saying, hey, and now it's a combo pair of two people to fight. You know, if it comes down to that, by all means, you know, you have to do what you have to do. But you're having that extra set of eyes to be there for you, and we want you to be good witnesses. So, you know, paying attention to certain things. If the person has any identifiable things like tattoos or scars, their hair cut, what type of shoes are they wearing? A lot of times perpetrators will change their clothing. They'll put on a different top or change it. But a lot of times the shoes don't change. So, you know, height descriptions and that sort of thing. What kind of vehicle did they get into, the direction? So just focusing on those things and being a good witness in the unfortunate event that you do become a victim of a crime. The whole idea of having a companion with you is just another set of eyes. You're more vigilant and you're safer in pairs generally, when you're out and about in the public. But that still isn't a substitute for situational awareness. Now, you both need to pay attention. You both need to try to identify, potential issues or threats or suspicious circumstances, and then you can act accordingly and have a plan. You know, think about these things. What would I do if I'm walking back to my car and I'm finishing up shopping and I notice an individual? Like, what would be the step that I should take? You know, I talked about looking, going into a store, maybe contacting somebody from the store to reach to the store security, or calling 911, push come to shove, just call 911, and making that eye contact with the individual or staying in a public place. Sometimes that's a deterrent because they don't expect to be, confronted visually. And when we say confronted, not getting in their face, but just actually with you, making eye contact with them so they know that you see them. And maybe it's a misunderstanding, but if that person does have ill intentions, they're going to think twice because they're generally not looking for a combative subject. They want an easier target. And if you're looking at them, if you're not afraid, you stand in a safe area, you stop walking, and now you're stopping, and you look at them, and maybe they'll feel uncomfortable and go the opposite direction. So those are some of the things we would advise you to consider.
We're going to take our final break. We are here with Officer James West. He is the crime prevention guru at Orlando Police Department here in beautiful Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good.
Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on K-Ham Radio.
Are you sure?
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this afternoon. We are talking the holiday crime prevention with Orlando Crime Prevention Officer James West. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. And Officer West, we obviously don't have time to talk about everything with regards to crime prevention, but what are some of the other things that we need to be focusing on around this time of year in terms of keeping ourselves and our property safe?
I did want to touch back on the home cameras, because okay. We kind of touched on that. I think the home camera systems, and there's so many different types, I won't throw any particular names out there, but you've got your door cameras, and then you've got cameras now that people will place around their homes that will notify you and you can kind of communicate or see. I think those are great. Cameras are a good tool. Any alarm system is a good tool, but they're not substitutes for for action, for you taking action. So they're only as good as your commitment to them. So if you don't, if you have a camera and you aren't able to monitor it, then the camera will then provide evidentiary information for the police department after something has occurred. But they're more effective they're only as effective if you're able to monitor them. So if you do see, because we would get calls in the past. I won't say a lot of calls, but we've had calls in the past where people will get a notification from their door camera. And they'll say, oh, my goodness, somebody's breaking into the house. And I'm watching them live, and then they have indoor cameras that they can monitor. I'm watching it live. And that's great, a great tool for us, because sometimes if you don't have a home monitored alarm system for your home where a security monitoring company is monitoring your cameras for you, because we see a lot of people, some of those home monitoring systems can be expensive. And so a lot of people have taken residential home security kind of into their own hands, and they've bought systems, and they're kind of doing it themselves versus paying for a company to do it and monitor those services for you. So if you are in a do-it-yourself, you know, place, which a lot of folks are, I was for a time and that sort of thing, you just have to be involved and engaged to get the most out of the cameras, because it can be a false sense of security. Cameras are not as much of a deterrent as people think they are. A lot of criminals, you know, will just cover their face, or sometimes they'll see the camera and try to knock the camera down or try to obscure the camera. A lot of people don't actively monitor their camera systems, so they may get notifications, and then maybe if they're busy at work, you know, on their lunch break or after they finish doing what they're doing, they look at it, and then they notice that something's happened. And by then, you know, the person may have already broken into your home or your vehicle or whatever it is and committed the act. And now the camera is just providing you evidentiary information that you would then provide to the police department after the fact. So while cameras are a great tool, let's not have a false sense of security about the effectiveness of a camera strictly as a deterrent, because they're really not as strong of a deterrent as we think, unless they're actively being monitored and used by either a security company or yourself.
Speaking of those cameras, I wanted to ask you about apps such as Nextdoor, because a lot of people, you know, something happens and they will take the footage and they will post it on there of what happened. Is that useful for your department?
You know, we kind of have mixed feelings about Nextdoor, because not in a bad way, but what happens is that not every police department utilizes Nextdoor. Like, some of them we're starting to catch on, because I think Nextdoor is a great community socialization tool. And when we talked about, you know, hey, getting to know your neighbors, you know, some of the next door, you know, if you look, you may have a subdivision, your subdivision may participate in it that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's another way of having neighbors look, but you also, there's no way of verifying if all the neighbors or the people involved have good intentions either. So what we find is that people will post things on Nextdoor, but they don't report it to the police department. So they'll get on and they'll post a video, or they'll say, hey, you know, someone broke into my car, or, you know, have you seen or watch out for this person, but then in turn they don't call and file a police report, so the police department isn't aware that the crime has occurred or is occurring. And what happens is you kind of have a neighborhood that's kind of working and managing some of these things, but you don't have the partnership with your local police department. So in our case, we do, my unit, the crime prevention unit, we have a neighborhood watch coordinator group that has civilian staff that aren't sworn police officers, but they focus on our neighborhood watch program, and they use Nextdoor to post things that we're doing in the community. And occasionally, you know, we'll see some things, and the first thing we always ask is, hey, this is a great video, or sometimes they don't have a video, they may just say this crime occurred, and someone will say, well, did you report it? And in a lot of instances the people haven't. So I do think that Nextdoor is great as far as getting information out and keeping those lines of communication open with your neighbors as far as things that are happening, good and bad. But we can't allow Nextdoor to solely be the space where we share that footage, and you have to, and if you are in, on a next door neighborhood group and you do see where a neighbor posts the photo, always, you know, reply and say, hey, did you report that to the police department? Because in a lot of cases when we're victims of crime, sometimes people feel like, oh, well, it was my fault, you know, because I left my computer laptop bag sitting in the back seat of the car, and, you know, I kind of asked for it, or I left that some loose change there. I left my car door unlocked and someone went in there, you know, they feel that we can sometimes be embarrassed about it, or so we won't always call and report it to the police department. But it's important for the police department to come out and respond and take a police report, because all of the incidents that come into us that are reported, we document those, and it allows us to have accurate crime data for your neighborhood. And when at least at the Orlando Police Department, when our crime analysts run their numbers and we look at how we want to position our manning and our patrols and how we want to utilize our police resources, we're looking at the data that comes from the reported calls that we get and cases that are generated, and that's in a lot of cases how we determine how much patrol a neighborhood gets. So if you aren't reporting those crimes, or if you're just posting them on next door and you're not calling and having a police report done, then the police department doesn't know that you need more patrol or that you're having these issues unless you report it to us. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It truly does. So what other things should we be kind of on the lookout for because we are getting caught up. We're getting caught up with hosting,
yes,
you know, entertaining and traveling and all that type of stuff, and going out a little bit more to dine and stuff like that. So so we kind of, you know, losing track a little bit. What other things should we be focused on?
Well, what we see is there is some fraud that can occur, and some credit card fraud and things like that can happen during the holiday season. So one thing I would recommend is that you're careful. If you have, a bank card, I generally would encourage people, because I know a lot of folks, like, you know, will use their checking Visa card or their checking MasterCard, and it does act as a credit card, because, you know, back in the day, your card was really just a debit card or an ATM card, and you couldn't charge with your bank account, you know, your checking account. You know, and there was some protection that came with that, because someone had to know your PIN number. They couldn't have a pre-authorization done like a credit card works, where someone can swipe it, not have to enter anything, or they can steal your card number, you know, maybe at a restaurant where, you know, unfortunately sometimes it happens where some, you know, individuals at the restaurant, they may keep the carbon copy, or they may, you know, take down the numbers, and then you may have those individuals use that information to do shopping with. And if that card is your bank card, you know, your checking, you know, that's attached to your checking account, the bank handles fraud different than a regular credit card company like American Express or your Visa, Discover, MasterCard, etc. Your bank has to conduct an investigation first, and that can take weeks, and during that time, your money is locked up in your checking account, and God forbid you've got to pay bills, rent, that sort of thing. It can be devastating. So I encourage people, check with your banks. A lot of banks offer a prepaid debit card that you can transfer money to, and you can keep your money there and use that prepaid debit card, so that way it limits your vulnerability in that situation. They don't have access, they're not tying up or taking funds from your personal checking account, or have use a trusted credit card, not to give plugs for anybody, but use a credit card only that's not attached to your checking account, because credit card companies handle fraud differently. They're able to write that off, their investigations are different, and it doesn't affect the funds that are in your bank account, which could be more devastating in the event of fraud.
And the last thing I want to say before we go, because you were talking about people walking around with their phones, looking down on their phones, and someone's going to come and swipe your phone, hang on to those phones tightly, because a lot of us are also now using them more for shopping and other things.
Yes.
Because there are apps. I know I've used the Sam's Club app, I've used the Publix app, and there, you know, other apps it makes it so much more convenient, but then that means that everything you're doing, or quite a bit of what you're doing, is on that phone, so you've got to really make sure you're securing that as well in more ways than one. Officer West, thanks for taking the time out today. We really appreciate it, you being here and giving us those tips. And please feel free to come back and join us. Okay?
I'd be happy to return. Thank you for inviting me. It was great.
Thanks so much. And thank you all for listening. By the way, don't forget, we have Thursday and Third Friday this week, so that means Tech Thursday on Thursday with Burton Kelso and Friday in the Garden with Robert Bowden, the Blue Garden. So please join us then, and we'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Thanks for joining us. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.